Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 42. In verse 1, "Behold my servant, I will uphold him, my elect in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit on him, he shall bring forth justice to the nations." Now, this is a messianic prophecy. Here, Isaiah, about 800 some odd years prior to Jesus, is speaking about Jesus. Now, we understand why Jesus came. We understand that he came to die for the sins of the world. We understand that he came to be the Savior of all mankind. But there is something that he says here that would seem almost like a contradiction. It says in that last portion of this verse, "He shall bring forth justice to the nations." And this was the messianic prophecy, that he would bring forth justice. He didn't say he would bring forth salvation, albeit he did. He didn't say he would bring forth love, albeit he did. It says he'll bring forth justice. In Psalm 33 and verse 5, "He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." And again, we have this idea of justice. Now, righteousness in Romans 1:17 is through faith. Faith in Galatians 5:6 in the second half of the verse works by love. But that's not what he's emphasizing here. He's emphasizing the righteousness and justice. Despite John 3:16, where it was God so loved the world. And yet, he emphasizes justice. Now, there is a reason for this. And the reason is that justice always precedes love. In fact, without justice, there is no manifestation or any form of expression of love. Love requires justice to be present. Sometimes people say, "Just love me without justice." And often they're saying, "Don't judge me, just accept me," and that kind of a thing. And okay, fine, I understand. We don't judge people in that sense. However, without justice, there is no love. If I remove justice from love, then I maintain love strictly as an emotional condition. But it's justice that elevates love to the realm of truth. Real love must have justice. Emotional love is superficial and it is not enduring. Emotional love is not love that is unconditional. Emotional love is very malleable, changeable. It's very dependent on circumstances, and its existence is dependent on subjective interpretations. Justice makes love, number one, objective, and number two, it takes it out of the emotions. When God is saying in 1 Corinthians 13:4 that love is first patient and kind, that description, that reality of love, those characteristics of love are dependent on the existence of justice. Because really, without justice being present, patience and kindness don't mean anything. Now, I realize that that may seem like a strange concept to people, that justice must precede love. But think with me here for a moment. We're not talking about justice like the judicial system. We're not talking about justice in governmental manifestations or applications. We're talking about divine justice and divine love. Justice must precede love, or love doesn't exist. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That word in is the word en in the original language, and it's a preposition denoting both position and instrumentality. So, the wages of sin is death. While we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we know that every human being on earth, with the exception of Jesus himself, was a sinner. We know that sin started with the very first people who were created, and we know that sin continues through the genetics unto every individual that has ever lived, except for Christ. Because Christ did not receive Mary's genetics. Christ received genetics specifically formulated, albeit human, by the Holy Spirit. He had perfect DNA. Now, the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We think of this as a problem. God thought of it as a provision. Because if you think about the very purpose for which we were created, we were not created for God to show off justice. We were created because God is love. But for love to exist, there must be justice. God is not unjust. God is not the type, because of his perfection, who could make something less than perfect. So we have this thing that was allowed to take place, and I'm not going to get into that now. We've had other messages that have explained this. But we have this situation where sin was allowed into the world through Adam and Eve. And the wages of sin is death, and that sin would pass on to every human being. That being the case, because God is holy, and it is indeed His word, His nature, His character, His mind, that tells us that the wages of sin is death. Justice is built in to the process. There is no love without justice. In 1 Peter 3:18, Christ also once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. Christ went to the cross to save sinners, the just for the unjust. Now, we think of this as a form of justice, and indeed, it is, theologically, that is correct, but it's correct only on certain levels. There is a deeper level on which it's not so much about justice, that justice becomes a vehicle and not an ends in itself. Christ also suffered once for sins. The just for the unjust. Christ went to the cross and died for sins. Christ shed his blood for sins. He came to save sinners. And he did it by taking on the sins of everyone in the world, putting them onto his own body in 1 Peter 2:24 and dying on the cross. That was justice, because he had everybody's sins on him. Now let's go a little deeper. In Ephesians 2:15 and 16, When Christ was on the cross, we became his body. That's where we become the one new man with him. That took place at the cross. That's the reason why he bore our sins on his own body. Because we were that body, and we possess sin in our mortal bodies, and also, practically speaking, we do sin. All of that became one with the Savior on the cross. Because in 1 Corinthians 12:27, we were his body, the blood that was shed on us. It was also shed on him. You see, God brought in justice. And he executed, because of his mercy, because of his kindness, because he does love as a nature, he executed the justice on himself. Because the covenants were all made between him and humanity. All the dispensations were a type of a covenant, essentially, and especially the new and the old covenant were outright covenants. But it was always between him and us. When he gave the prohibition was between him and us in Genesis 2:17. When he gave the law to Moses, it was between him and us. When Jesus went to the cross, it was between him and us. The promises of God are between him and us. All that there is with God and his interactions with humanity is between him and us. So there are only two possibilities for the execution of justice. Either we or he experience, fulfill the justice. And in this case, both. If we alone fulfill the justice, then every human being would die in their sin. If he alone fulfilled the justice, then he would not have died for sin, he simply would have died. But the fact that we became his body on the cross, that that is where the union took place. That it was us and him together as one person dying on the cross, the blood being shed, being cleansed by the blood as he did shed his blood. And now, justice was fulfilled for sin. And on top of that, he doesn't lose us. Now, we know that in 1 John 1:7, the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Keep that in mind. Keep in mind why he went to the cross for justice's sake. Now bring that thought into the context of Revelation 13:8, where the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Now we have taught in the past, and we continue to do so. It is very scriptural. It is historically acknowledged as scriptural all the way back to Abraham. That the blood of Christ was established as the foundation, along with the cross, the slain lamb, for the existence of everything that is in the universe. And Genesis 2:7 shows us that that blood is present in the original language. You can see this in absolutely everything that is created. Of course it is. It's part of the structural foundation. Now, that means that the world was not so much established on the love of God. The world was established on the carrying out of justice. And it took place in John 3:16 so that love could be revealed. Without justice, there is no love. So we had justice first. That was the very first thing that happened as far as all of creation goes. Yes, motivated by love. But without justice, there is no expression of love. There is no practicality to love without justice. But now, because the Lamb was slain, the very fact that the slain Lamb is the foundation of everything, of the universe, cosmos, the word world is cosmos, it should read universe. That fact means that justice is the foundation of everything. But justice is not like what the world thinks of justice. I proclaim you guilty or I proclaim you innocent. No, it was a proclamation of guilt. And then the ensuing cross to deal with the guilt. Their justice was satisfied. And love was established. We no longer consider anything apart from justice. If we consider within justice, we consider in love. If we consider outside of justice, there is no love. In Romans 5:8, God commends His love toward us. Commends, synesthesin in the original language. God unifies us with His love. In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 9, being now justified by His blood. In verse 10, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. It all started with justice. Reconciliation started with justice. Acceptance by God started with justice. The whole thing started with justice. The love of God, the manifestation of grace, mercy, it all starts with justice. Justice is the reason for our salvation. Because if there was no justice, there would be no cross. If there's no cross, there's no salvation. If there's no cross, there's no manifestation of the love of God. Justice always precedes love. Because love without justice is an emotion. But love isn't an emotion. The Word of God says in 1 John 4:11, Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. When I approach someone, regardless who they are, then I have to approach from the standpoint of justice. People in their relationships, whether it's in marital relationships or friendships, other family type relationships, work relationship, any kind of relationship that exists really between people is all necessarily based in justice. Now again, it's not based in my judgment of somebody or my evaluation of someone, or for that matter, their evaluation of me. That's not justice. Justice is what God carried out and the Son fulfilled at the cross. At the cross, we became one person with him as justice was being established, and therein was the manifestation of love. So, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Why is it that God says that love is first patient and kind? Because of justice. Any fault, any problem, anything somebody has done, that's already been taken care of. There is place for patience and kindness. If somebody does something and maybe somebody is hurt by it or somehow otherwise offended by it, and forgiveness is necessary, that is simply a part of the patience and kindness. That is justice. If a person is patient with another person, they are patient because they are honoring justice. Not because they're trying to love per se, but because they are honoring justice. They are honoring what God had done for them on the cross, accepting the reality of it for themselves, and applying the reality of it for another person. That is justice. When somebody is kind, that is justice. Somebody who refuses to be patient or refuses to be kind, they're in violation of the justice of God. We ought love as He loved us. They are in violation of the Supreme Court of Heaven if somebody is impatient or unkind with someone. That's why God gives such profound penalties. He says, you choose your own judgment in Matthew 7:1-2. One of the reasons why people have very difficult problems sometimes, believers, usually it's in their emotions, but it can be in other things like their relationships and other things as well. One of the reasons is because they don't honor the justice of God. What did Satan do to Eve in the Garden of Eden when he beguiled her? He got her to not consider justice. You will not surely die. God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, your eyes will be open and you will be as God, small g, it should read, as the angels. You will not surely die. There's no justice that's going to take place as a result. God didn't talk about justice. And yet, what took place? The requirements of justice. They fell, they became self-oriented. What's the very first thing that happened when they became self-oriented? Justice went right out the window. All of a sudden, in their minds, you're different than me. No, you're different than me. We got to cover each other up. Why was there a schism? Because they saw in their own twisted thinking, something being wrong when there was nothing wrong, there was no justice. The very first manifestation outwardly after they had made themselves fig leaves and then hid themselves from God was that they started accusing. No justice. No patience, no kindness, no love. She did it. The devil did it. All along, neglecting that they are both free volitional agents. Well, fact of the matter was that justice doesn't accept blame. Justice before God is justice for me individually with God, justice for you individually with God, justice for every individual uniquely by themselves with God. And we all receive justice. The justice that we receive is the justice that we choose. Romans 2, verses 4 through 10, gives a very strong warning. In James 2:13, judgment without mercy to the one who shows no mercy. We choose. Romans 2:4-10, every person should read Romans 2, 4 through 10, and be sobered by it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We don't violate the justice of God. We honor it. We live in it. We practice it. If a person is merciful, then that person is honoring the justice of God. The person who is compassionate is honoring the justice of God. The person who has a generous spirit is honoring the justice of God. The person who manifests patience or kindness is honoring the justice of God. Those people who refuse to do so dishonor the justice of God. And because they have chosen to dishonor it, God will deal with them according to what they have chosen. Every person stands before God. Every knee shall bow, every one of us live before Him. And by the way, this is true for the saved and the unsaved. With the unsaved, they don't have a chance of heaven because they have rejected the only provision for heaven. With the saved, they have accepted the provision, but both their experience and their eternal condition has yet to be determined. I would rather stand before God having chosen mercy than anything else. I would rather stand before God having chosen kindness than anything else. I would rather stand before God having chosen patience than anything else. And yet, we find in Matthew 7, 1 and 2 that the way that we choose it is by giving it. In Proverbs 17, 17, a friend loves at all times. That means if I am a friend, I will at all times live in the justice of God toward the other person because God's justice has been applied to me. And it continues to be applied to me, and therefore I will continue to apply it to the other person. Not evaluation, not criticism, not judgment, not negativity. But the justice that was in reality carried out toward me when I became one new man as the just died for my own injustice. Took me on himself to be his body, shed his blood over me, allowed me to be cleansed from my sins, and then raised me up together with him after we both died on the cross. That was the justice that I received. I have to be sure not to choose the experience of another form of justice so that I don't have to receive something that I've chosen that He has not intended. In Luke 11:42, woe unto you Pharisees. Why woe unto them? Because they passed by justice and the love of God. It didn't matter that they were religious. They didn't practice the justice of God. They didn't practice the finished work of Christ. They didn't practice oneness with the Savior. They didn't practice all those things that allow a person to be justified before Him. They didn't practice salvation. And because they've chosen otherwise, God says to them, woe unto you, Pharisees. In Zechariah 7:9, Thus says the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions, every man to his brother. You could say, practice true justice. And in practicing true justice, you will show mercy and compassion, every single one of you, to his brother. Be sure to practice justice. Because justice was already carried out. And so I have to be careful to live in the justice that is, and not bring in a new justice system. Apart from the mercy of God, God will give me what I choose. Hence the reason why so many people have so many problems in marriages and families and friendships and other relationships. They don't practice the justice of God. They might condemn, they might judge, they might react, but it's all because they are living in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, living in the self-orientation that Satan introduced. You see, there is no justice in self-orientation. There's only justice as I become one new man at the cross with my Savior. The cross is not the place of our demise. Outside the cross is the place of our demise. The cross is the place where we find the fullness of life in Galatians 2:20. The cross is the place where we find joy, satisfaction, contentment. Justice is the place where relationships are built. Not fairness. Fairness is simply a fleshly interpretation of circumstances. But the justice of God, as it actually is the foundation of all relationship. Because where there is no justice, there is no love. Justice always precedes love. And so we approach God on the basis of what he has done, and that is justice. We receive his love on the basis of what he's done, and that is justice. We receive his mercy and his loving kindness on the basis of what he has done, and that is justice. But likewise, we practice the same thing. We give kindness because we practice justice. We give patience because we practice justice. We give compassion because we practice justice. If we practice justice, we love, because justice always precedes love. Amen?
If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me, so I can have eternal life with you. Amen.
See, people don't get that justice and love connection. They try to think of justice in the judicial sense, in the socio-political, whatever sense. But that has nothing to do with justice. That's simply maintaining order within society. And it has its place. I'm not saying it's wrong. What I'm saying is it's not the same. That's where love becomes real. Number one, it takes away sentimentality. Because sentimentality is not love. Sentimentality is flesh-based emotion. And it's often got to do with affection. But it can also have to do with fear. So it's not sentimentality. It does away with sentimentality. and it does away with the... There is actually no emotional component to love, but people try to make an emotional component to love because they try to love in their emotions. But that's only because they love outside of justice. In other words, what's the basis for love? The cross. The cross is why I can be patient. The cross is why I can be kind. The cross is why I can be compassionate. The cross is why love is not conditional. The basis is the cross. Because how else am I going to have the love of God? I can have human love. But human love is absolutely worthless. Human love is a currency. Human love, in most cases, is an effort to purchase something. That's why human love ends when it stops getting its way. You know, the whole thing, when people hear something like justice precedes love, they're not actually understanding what justice is. They think, well, you did something, therefore I have to apply justice. No, that's called double jeopardy. What you did, justice has already been carried out for on the cross. I can carry out justice by loving that person, therefore. Because now that's how God carries it out, right? Jeremiah 31:3. Justice is now being carried out by manifestation of love because justice preceded that love. So sometimes people say, well, justice has to be carried out for love to exist, and they try to implement a program of double jeopardy, where that's not justice. Forgiveness is the implementation now of justice. Mercy is justice. Grace is justice. Right? Because it's all based on the justice that was carried out by God. And now to be just, we have to surrender, if you will, or submit to the justice of God, which was already accomplished. We think of justice as something that has yet to be accomplished based on somebody's behavior, but it's not true. It's something that has already been accomplished based on what God has done. Therein, you find justice and love.